Okay, we'll need to ask you the roll call, please.
Director Cesena.
Here.
Director Fourcroy. Director Gatchell. Vice President Womack.
Present.
President Ohilski.
Present. Okay, and with that, then we'll move on to item number two, which is announcement of closed session items. A, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph four of subdivision D of section 54956.9, one matter. Based on existing facts and circumstances, the district is deciding whether or not to initiate litigation.
If so that's not a tease trailer, I don't know what, you know.
So with that, then we'll adjourn to closed session.
There's no public item comment on that item.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
You're not a member of.
That's what I thought.
Sure. Okay, so we're going to reconvene to open session in a minute. We have our technician working here. Thank you, Mr. Tech.
Turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on.
Plug it in, unplug it. Okay. So we're reconvening to open session after our closed session. Item number five, report out of closed session. There is no report out of closed session for today's. So for as part of the agenda, we're going to go ahead and make an adjustment to the agenda. We're going to move item number eight, the administrative and committee reports, up to the next item. And then we'll move general action items and all the rest down below that. So we'll move on to item number eight. We don't have a fire department report at this point. So we have sheriff's report, please. Verbal report only.
Good evening. Stuart MacDonald from the sheriff's office with a report of April's activity in the community of Los Osos. We had three assault and battery reports. One was a simple battery, and two of those were domestic violence related incidents. We had 22 disturbances, which included 14 general disturbances, two neighbor disputes, two loud music complaints, and four family disputes. We had two burglaries reported. One of those was a commercial burglary. The other was a vehicle burglary, which means that items were stolen out of a locked vehicle. There were 12 theft reports, which is a little high. Generally, we see 5 to 8 as sort of our regular. But I looked at those 12, 11 of which were petty thefts, which means the value of loss was under $950, and one was a grand theft, so over $950. But I couldn't really discern any kind of a pattern. None of them were related to one another, so it wasn't like a cluster. They were just, it was just an odd thing this in the month of April. We did not have any vandalisms in April, no mail thefts and no phone scams reported to us. There were 18 suspicious circumstances calls, which included 5 suspicious circumstances, 6 suspicious persons, and 7 suspicious vehicles. The deputies conducted 28 enforcement stops, which included 8 pedestrian stops and 20 vehicle stops. And then they engaged in 48 activities, which included 28 on-site activities, 5 patrol checks, 2 foot patrols, and then 13 parked vehicle checks. And this is this is a new category that I've added to this reporting. Parked vehicle checks are when they come across a parked vehicle that might be parked in a no parking zone, or maybe they want to check the parked vehicle to make sure nobody is sleeping in the vehicle between the prohibited hours that prevent sleeping in a vehicle in Los Osos. So I thought that would actually be a good number to capture. They contacted 13 parked vehicles. Generally, when they go out on a parked vehicle, call it's because they've seen someone inside of it. So occasionally they'll check on the vehicle and it will be unoccupied, but generally they make a contact with somebody when they make those stops. So that's my report, and I'm available for any questions or concerns.
Thank you. Any questions? Good report. Thank Excellent. You. Okay. And just for the record, for the fire department report, we do have a written report. Pardon?
We don't have a person.
Right. But we do have, and not just a verbal report, we do have a written report. So let's move on. Highway patrol, nothing. Utilities department report.
We have a written report, which
Thank
we
you.
Usually don't review, but I did want to look at one particular update that is in that report about our PFAS testing results. We have no PFAS in any of our wells. Which is truly amazing, and it's really the first round. We'll be doing this twice a year from here out. Isn't that correct? Yeah, we'll do it again in July and then January and July. So we're really excited about that. So there's really no other update in the utilities department report. If you'd like me to move on to the GM.
Yeah, general manager.
Yeah. Couple of things here. I think everyone's heard that the habitat conservation plan was approved by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now we're getting into the implementation stage. The county is working diligently to figure out exactly what the program is going to look like. There will be an impact to our projects because all our utility projects will be subject to the mitigation fee for the HCP. So we will be looking at that very closely as we move forward, especially it's anything that disturbs the ground. We think we have it worked out where if we're actually doing a pipeline in the middle of the road, we're not subject, but if we're off on the shoulder, we would be. And also our service lateral, like if we have a lateral that breaks between the main and the meter, part of that could be subject to it as well if we're trenching. So anyway, there'll be some impacts. I'll have more information as the county really comes out with the guidelines, and I have a meeting with them next week to talk more about this and how that impacts our projects.
I have a question. Wasn't there a Supreme Court case about that they couldn't charge fees anymore?
I'm not sure. This is one that's been in the works forever, as you're aware of, and so this is in lieu of having the entire community of Los Osos is considered habitat for the snail, endangered snail or threatened snail. And then there's some botany plants like the manzanita, excuse me, that are protected as well. So this is, I guess, done a requirement of the federal government.
Not the state government?
No, this is federal government.
Okay.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
There was some lawsuit. I'm not a lawyer, so, but I think they were disallowing some fees.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a sheet. It's the U.S. Supreme Court. Decision that came down. The mitigation fees are related to the Endangered Species Act,
right.
And so this is related to development impact fees, like traffic fees or fees related to increased water use. It's not that. Supreme Court said that you can't charge development impact fees. They just clarified, I think in this case, that there does have to be a stronger nexus than certain counties and other municipalities were using.
Right,
so
but
it
the
doesn't
fee has
apply
to be
here.
okay. That's not what this
Yes,
is. Okay,
because it's the ESA, it's the Endangered Species Act.
Thank you.
So, yep.
some of the other things I have here is we want to let the community know that the weed abatement inspections have begun. So we encourage everyone to get their properties up to snuff on abating hazardous materials, especially weeds for this time of year, even though we continue to have intermittent rains. I am diligently working on the FEMA resubmittal. I've gotten everything into FEMA as of Monday or Tuesday morning. I've had two meetings with them this week, working through the details. So I'll try to keep you abreast of that. And along those lines, it was Tuesday, I received kind of interesting news related to the Cabrillo State stormwater repairs. Our primary civil engineering company, M&S Engineers, submitted to the American Society of Civil Engineers, the local chapter, how we responded to our disaster. And we got first place. And so I will be accepting an award on behalf of the CSD. It says, congratulations. This email is to inform you that your project, Cabrillo State Stormwater Emergency Basin Repairs, has been selected to receive the ASCE San Luis Obispo branch for outstanding emergency response. So anyway, silver lining.
Well, you deserve that. I know you're saying it for us, but you were the one up there.
Well, it was all of us. We had a lot of special session meetings, you know, special board meetings. We had a lot of stuff going on. So at least we got recognized for how we responded.
That's nice.
And you deserve another award once the FEMA submittal is completed and for over a year.
So what happened with FEMA? Like you,
it's an unfortunate story. Our project program manager, they call him, it was her first FEMA disaster response, and we were provided erroneous information on how to categorize our projects. So when we were getting down to what I thought was the end, and we knew we had that final permanent repair project looming, they said, oh, this is all wrong. And so I had to go back through all the invoicing and reshuffle the deck, so to speak. They added a category. There's category B. So we have two category B projects and a category D now, which is the permanent repair. Anyway, long story short, it was errors done about a year ago that sent me down the wrong path. And so now I've spent the last few weeks correcting that.
Oh, it's unfortunate.
I'm well abreast in the FEMA portal. Anyone needs advice.
I'm having to go back there, sadly. Okay, thank you.
And that's the end of my report.
Okay. The Chamber of Commerce report coming up next Saturday, the 11th, is our annual dinner and awards banquet. So we'll be giving out the awards to Citizen of the Year, Business of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, etc. So if you're interested in that, check on the Chamber of Commerce's website and you can purchase a ticket there. And good time will be had by all. So, LOPAC.
Oh, I went. I did submit something, but I guess I didn't submit it Friday morning. Let me see. I sent it to Laura, though.
Yeah, we got it. I
you did?
Email. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I don't have to remember because I already don't remember.
So happened? We have a written report from LOCAC. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Parks and Rec, no meeting. Utility advisory.
We went over budget issues and were encouraged to notice that we've moved a lot of projects. We got an aggressive capital improvement program next year. Finally, the equipment shed and the SCADA program project. Trying to do them all in a year. We'll see what happens. But it's aggressive. And we're happy about that. You know, there was a question, I think, though, that came up that really didn't get answered, and I don't know how you deal with it. And that is the administrative overhead draw for drainage last year. You probably spent more last year on drainage than 10 years before. Right. But I don't know how you capture that once you've already set a draw unless you go back in the next year, try and set what would have been a realistic number for the previous year and assume we're all playing catch up. And I don't know. I don't know if there was ever an answer to that, but
it really wasn't. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
Budget presentation.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Finance advisory.
Yes. We had a rigorous discussion about the budget. I think they recommended approval. They recommended approval of the warrant register and receive and file the financial reports. And there was some discussion about how aggressive people are afraid of if we were able to complete all those projects, what it would do. But Ron kind of reassured everyone that generally things get pushed off, like they have supply chain issues, and that we can be aggressive and say we're going to try to do all these things, but we'll just get done what we do get done, I guess.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get it all done, but rather than be too conservative right now when we have the resources to get these things done before they get more expensive, we decided we should push.
No, it's better to be aggressive when you can be aggressive. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, ESAC, there was no meeting, which I can be the meeting. But, Basin Management Committee, no meeting, no report.
But I do want to mention that the draft and annual groundwater monitoring report is out on the streets. And we will be discussing that at the May BMC meeting.
Okay, what day is the May meeting?
It's the day before, so it's this
15th,
I believe.
Okay, it's at the community center.
No, here.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the director's announcement of district and community interest and reports on attendance at other public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody have anything for that? No.
Oh.
CSDA.
No.
Well, you want to say something? You went?
Gotten all about it.
Well, three of us went.
Yeah, we had a chapter meeting. Chris, Chuck, and I were there. Presentations by Senator Laird's aide.
A quarterly meeting.
And a quarterly meeting. And they talked about trying to bolster membership and participation.
And what they wanted to do was revamp the rules for voting, the bylaws.
Marshall, you should have been there.
They have a hard time. They have a hard time getting.
I was the chair of that for 12 years. Something.
You can take a break. They have a hard time getting quorum, and they want to approve new ways of doing things that are more like the ways we do things now. But I think they're going to try to get a quorum via email to change the bylaws, because it was not a heavily attended meeting.
Well, they know how to get a hold of me. Okay, anything else?
No.
Responses to previous asked questions?
Okay, we have none.
Then we'll move back to item number 6. So general action items. General action item A.
Public comment.
Oh, public comment. Pardon me. Any public comment on administrative committee reports?
If you're
online, raise your hand.
If you're online, please raise your hand.
Okay, no public comment. Then we'll close out on item number 8 and move back to number 6. So the first item is 6A, fiscal year 24-25 preliminary budget review. The recommendation by staff is to recommend discussion, provide direction to staff, and schedule a public hearing for adoption. Pardon me.
Thank you. We'll adapt as we go. Thank you. I have a fairly long presentation, since typically in the preliminary budget review, we make some decisions like zoning allocation, go through in a little more detail. So when we come back in June, I'll just report out mostly on if any changes were made, like, for instance, Schedule A, which we know has been delayed. So anyway, I'll get into it. Just for everyone that maybe doesn't read the budget, the way we format the report is I mention the major requests so we can identify the big things up front, the impact, which is typically the financial part, and then the summary table, which shows in a visual form how the different major object lines are changing from year to year. We're going to start with the Zone A tax allocation. I'm sorry, I'll get my voice going here. This is a designated tax derived from property taxes collected community-wide. So it's been our decision as a board to allocate mostly to community-wide funds, except that in our rate-setting process back 3 years ago now, we dedicated about $50,000 of this. So that's how I built the tables that you'll see and the options in your report. So to jump in, this is this year, this fiscal year's allocation. As you can see, we did a fairly substantial allocation to drainage because of the circumstances. We minimized parks and recreation, but as usual, gave fire a higher allocation. Then you can see that 50,000 or that 16.7% for water. So keeping this one in mind, and I do at the end here have kind of a side-by-side comparison that might help.
Ron, can I just ask a quick question? There's no change from what you presented to FAC and what you're presenting today.
No.
Okay.
There is not.
I just pardon?
We didn't present Zone A at
at
FAC because
right.
That's a board.
No, but I just so there's been no change.
No changes in the rest.
Okay.
So I did want to point out in the estimated tax revenue, just real quick, last year is about $312, and this year it is estimated at $317,000, my little red arrow up there. This would mimic about what we did last year, or this year, I'm sorry. So it provides the same percentage breakdown, but of course, because we have a slightly higher revenue number, everything goes up that proportionate amount. This one, we, you know, since there hasn't been a lot of parks and rec activity, this one moves that 5% down to drainage to give them a little added boost, but again, keeps fire at what it was this fiscal year. And of course, water where it is.
Didn't we spend down? It feels to me like there's less money in the parks and rec. Like I'm.
It really hasn't changed, except the only thing that's been charged to it is the cost allocation, the transfer.
Okay.
But we gave it, you know, the $15,000 this fiscal year.
What are reserves on it?
I have it in here. We'd have to go. I don't memorize those. It's like $270,000.
Yeah, because I thought we started with $300,000.
But there's also some cash. You know,
on top,
yeah, and so we could. You'd have to go to the financial report in the back here. I can get to it. The total cash balance is $325,336.
Oh, that's actually good,
yeah,
okay.
Good question, though, to keep in mind because I know,
yeah, I know, like when we spend it, I kind of like.
To keep it
filling it back up to the 300,000, right. But I guess if we're over, I'm okay with
okay. So let's see, let me move forward. So that's this one where we just recognize parks, not much going on, but again, these are only options. You can play with the numbers any way you want, and I can recalculate it for the next meeting. This one gives back the 5% and takes it out of fire since it usually gets the highest percentage, but keeps a very high rate for drainage. Again, just a different way to look at it. This one lowers drainage and bumps up fire. So it's kind of the flip because we always recognize that our fire service is one of our most important services. And then finally, I guess that was the last one. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So here it is side by side. I know it's a little small. It can be a combination. It's basically how much do you want to give drainage, I think. And
remind me again, is drainage still in the hole a bit?
Yeah, we're paying back that loan that it took from Fund 500.
And how much is that?
It's been paid down for a year, so I'm not sure what it's at, but it was a $300,000 loan. And it's whatever we've paid down this past year. I could probably dig in here and find a number in the financials.
I probably saw it and forgot it.
Well, that's okay.
I guess since we had
57,000, we've paid it down. So it's at.
So there's like 243 ish.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm feeling like we had a hopefully unusual event, and I'm okay with putting more into drainage to help it catch up.
Yeah. And I do have to say, we have the permanent repair project is going to be about between 400,000 and 500,000. That will.
So this extra 5% is just a little dent, but.
Yeah. So what I'm doing to kind of go back to drainage and where we're at, there's 406, which is the disaster. FEMA will not pay for the permanent fix on the whole entire North Basin berm. They'll pay for a part of it. To fix the whole berm, I'm applying for mitigation funds, which are called 404 funds. But those are competitive and there's no guarantee. So that's where we might be on our own to fund that part of the project, but we may be able to get money. So that one, jury's still out. So that's where drainage is still kind of in this precarious position of owing water fund, $250,000 somewhere in there, and having a future project looming.
Okay. Can I just say my opinion?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yes.
You had too much information since you heard this all Monday.
Oh, well, but we didn't talk about this part. So I guess usually I really like to fund Parks and Rec, but if we're already at around 300,000, I'm kind of okay with taking that and giving it to drainage. I like funding fire, so I don't really want to change that. So I'm probably leaning towards option two.
Well, for expressing opinions on that, yeah, I agree that Parks and Rec, without the mechanisms in place to have the habitat conservation plan actually be viable, and it'll be months.
End of the year, beginning of next.
Yeah, right. Before that plan is really ready to be active, and maybe we could be looking for a dog park implementation plan.
Talking about fiscal year or calendar year?
I'm sorry, yes, calendar year.
So, yeah, I just think that drainage and fire are too important right now, and that we have a little lull in the Parks and Rec action. So I think option two is a pretty reasonable way to look at that.
Yeah, when we are moving forward in the dog park, we can change our opinion. But for where we're at right now.
And I next year, we're going to be in our last year of our rate increase and our rate study. We had been working towards not allocating any money to water. So there may be an extra 50 next year.
Right.
Depending on what comes up this year, that might be community-wide water related.
Yeah, I don't want to break that commitment to the rate study that was in water. We committed that $50,000 and we need to stand by that. But then I am still in favor of my previous position of making sure that the Zone A money goes to district-wide purposes.
Well, I'd like to hear the whole presentation before I give an opinion on this. Because
we did kind of jump in.
So can we move forward with your presentation? Okay.
Well, I'll keep my opinion. Marshall's right.
Well, you can. I mean, I heard the presentation on Monday, but I just wanted to put it in context because we didn't have the options on Monday.
No, we did not. Our cost allocation plan, and this was definitely a discussion at UAC, mainly because, as you can see, drainage only pays right now a 2% contribution. My thoughts on this, and I've spent quite a bit, both Laura and I have spent a lot of time on fire this past year. It's really hard. We had a methodology and agreement on how to change, or back, I think it was definitely before my time, I forget, it was around 200 or 2016 or 17, this cost allocation plan was developed. There was agreement, and to modify it would be, in my opinion, a little bit arbitrary. If we raise drainage, who goes down? So that's why I understand. Yeah, time hasn't been the same as a usual year, but I think we would need more information to change that for this budget. That's my opinion. But here is how the increase in the admin budget spreads out with the current percentages as designated. There's no questions on this. We can move forward. I did want to go through. We had discussions, like was stated, at UAC and FAC. Tilly Advisory Committee recommended that the board approve funds 500 and 800. We did a couple of meetings talk about the capital improvement project plan, and they did suggest the higher being a little more aggressive, and that's what was worked into the final. At finance, the finance committee did recommend that we approve of the board approve the 24-25 budget, but they had questions regarding the vehicle replacement reserve and the management of that, which we'll talk about in just a minute, but I want to make sure I got these out. There was some quite a bit of discussion on the electric vehicle budget that we put in into the Fund 500. It's a mandate from the state, and we'll talk about that when we get to Fund 500, but there was quite a bit of discussion on that. And then the expense projections and the impact on Fund 500 and the cash flow, or you know, the deficit that is indicated at the end of that budget. It's close to $2 million. And how is that going to be funded? And that's where we talked about, we can talk about that a little bit more, but if we're in a cash, you know, we've been able to do a very fairly aggressive capital program this year, which we had delays because of circumstances. But you know, the revenue coming in has helped in the timing of when we had to pay bills with such. We were able to spend quite a bit of money and not touch reserves. If we have to, we can go into our reserves, but that would be a board decision. So that's how we can address that negative number at the end of Fund 500. And we can look at that a little more closely as we get there. So here we go. We're finally at the budgets. Starting with Fund 100 administration, we do have increase in personnel costs related to cost of living for administrative clerk. That's 4%. That's a SLOSIA negotiated number for all our representative employees. I'm recommending the administrative services manager get a 3% cost of living. And for the general manager, there's a 2% built into the numbers, but that's to be determined by the board in August during my annual review. Other increases are in general employee costs, such as medical, retirement contributions, things just go up. We did add in money for the November election. And so that is about $17,000. And we did have increased insurance costs, which you'll see in almost every fund that pays into the insurance. Would you like to... So how's that look overall in terms of numbers? The personnel costs increased by just under $17,000, services and supplies about $22,000, with an overall budget increase because we did raise and lower some line items of about $38,700, or a 5.4% increase over last year. So the summary table looks like this. You can see all those numbers in a table form and where they are attributed to. And then, Marshall, I don't know if you want to stop and have
a
discussion.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Yeah, okay. So at this point, we can take questions from the committee and public comment.
So does anybody have any questions for Ron on particular 100? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment. If you're in the room, step up to the podium.
And if you're online, raise your hand.
Okay, no public comment on 100. We'll move to 200.
So both 200 and 400 are identical. We have no requests. There is a slight increase in the allocation charge, $96.88. Otherwise, it's a status quo. As I told the Finance Committee, we have adequate $1,000 built in for paying the street lighting bills. We have a little bit of a buffer, which also helps if there's some unforeseen increase that's larger than we anticipate. So with that, I can answer any.
Do you want to bump up to 400? We'll do them together.
Sure. Let me get up there. There's 400, similar, $96.88.
So does anybody have any questions about 200 and 400? Any public comment in the room? Step up to the podium, please. Seeing none.
And if you're online, please raise your hand.
Okay. Then, Ron.
Okay, now we get into
the fun ones.
The fun ones. Of course, Fund 301 is our fire. Major requests are increase in service supplies related to expenditures for personal protection equipment. This is for our reserve firefighters. We're anticipating maybe getting some grant funding for those as well, but we built in the full cost into the budget in case, like this year, we weren't successful in getting that grant funding. Insurance increases, legal services, of course, which we know we've had to have a little more assistance from legal counsel. And then there's various small incremental increases and decreases in the other areas. I did want to mention, if you're looking back in the line item detail, anything that's either highlighted, if you're in color in yellow or if it's gray on your sheets, those are line items that have been adjusted up or down, just if you're interested. The cost for Schedule A charges by CAL FIRE have not been received yet, so haven't been updated. So hopefully we definitely will see those before the June meeting. And so that's a stay tuned and we'll see how that goes. We have a slight decrease in our capital outlay budget since we're not purchasing a vehicle during this upcoming fiscal year, but we are maintaining our capital CIP line. Remains the same, just in anticipation of the work that may need to be done up the station this upcoming fiscal year. We did make a significant change to the vehicle replacement reserve contribution, and this is really a result of updating the sinking fund calculations to better reflect what we're actually seeing this year and trying to kind of project that forward out, of course. We try to do a 50-year projection, which the crystal ball really does get kind of murky after a few years. So we're recommending that we start looking at every 3 or 4 years. So with that, this is you have this spreadsheet, a paper form. It's still hard to read there. What I did here was take a snippet from it to show what, in general, what our recommendation is. In the gold there under 2324, we want to start a new baseline for the utility squad and the engine, because we know those have gone up significantly since the last time we have purchased. Well, the engine, we know it, in here it's showing a replacement cost of about $772,000. And so based on Chief Provinces looking at engines today, they're about $1 million. So it's just in the short amount of time, we've seen that escalation in costs. So we're proposing to set the new baseline, increase the inflation rate from 3% to 3.5% for the utility and squad vehicles in the command vehicle, and increase the engine to 4.5, and that's from 3.5 currently. So we're just kind of anticipating inflation sticking around for a while, especially for these types of vehicles. So with that, we would recommend us putting in $130,000 into the sinking fund for this upcoming fiscal year. If we would have stayed on the old schedule, instead of that 130, it would have been about 108,000. So you're seeing the increase there. Now, what came up at FAC and was an excellent point is that The sinking fund number shown on this spreadsheet does not match the sinking fund number that is in our reserve. The reserve is much higher. And this is a result of the last three vehicles not coming directly out of the vehicle reserve. Those had been paid for out of cash. Now, I think where this is important, and I've had a discussion with one of our public members that has been around a while, where this is important is it really, what we would see is that 1.3 million come down to something like about 500,000. And then this, or somewhere in that neighborhood. So what you would see in that sinking balance, it would be like right now it says it should be 243,000. And so we'd be closer to what we were actually projecting. So as we move out, we would have a better idea for offer on. And so what I'm going to propose is we move forward with the way we're working the budget, but we need to relook at all our reserve policies, fire, water, solid waste, all the policies. So I'd like to be this part of it, be part of that discussion and not get it intertwined with our discussion on the budget at this point in time. But I think we have some work to do on that. And it's ironic, I updated every single policy in the district except the reserve policy. So that's my commentary on that. And I guess we'll be looking for agreement on if this is a way to approach right. it so we are able to pay cash like we have in the past.
Right.
So I'll just make a
Would you like comment. Turn your microphone on?
Yes. Still buzzing. But my opinion is, I think this is a good idea to increase the amounts. You know, if inflation calms down in the future, it's always easier to pay less in the future. It's harder to pay more. So I like what you've done here. It makes sense to me.
Thank you.
I agree. One question on the, so we had one vehicle, we just replaced the engine instead of replacing the vehicle. If we had one of these situations, would that just come out of the reserve fund? Or are you going to have like a separate maintenance fund that could replace some of that, do some of those things?
I don't know if I'm exactly, what we have is a vehicle replacement fund that we contribute. That's that line B where it says fiscal year B up there.
Yep.
So every year we have been contributing that amount into that vehicle replacement fund. Instead of using the vehicle replacement fund or decreasing that in correlating to the cost of the vehicle repurchased, we had cash in our bank account that wasn't specific for the vehicles, but available. So the idea, and I understand going back, it had been done, but it got lost. It's not in our policy. So when I got here, I wasn't aware that you couldn't have, you know, that these had to match up. So anyway, we just need some definition for when whoever follows in my footsteps knows what the policy is and how we should be accounting for it. And so we have the money and we've had the money. It's just how are we accounting for it.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
And it does make sense that the numbers should match. I mean, I think that would be a good goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the money is there and it's in different, like a different pot, I guess. But
The only thing is going to happen, you know, we're estimating cost of vehicles, and if they're above or below, your number's never going to match, but as long as it's close.
Okay,
let me move on here. Impacts to budget, increase in service supplies budget by about 24,000, mostly attributed to the personal protection equipment, insurance, and legal services. And then, as we talked about, $27,000 that will be bumped up to put into the vehicle sinking fund. So that is what it'll look like. We will be updating the revenue numbers based on the decision on the Zone A money. So that will be different in June. Otherwise, this is what we're recommending for the budget for Fund 301.
Any other questions before we go to public comments? Okay, public comment, if you're in the room, step up to the podium. Seeing none.
If you're online, please raise your hand. No public comment online.
Okay, let's move on, Ron.
Well, I did have the reserves here. Let me I always forget I stick these here. You can see the for the vehicle replacement and $1.3 million. The one that I want to start bumping up is the capital outlay reserve, and that's for the station and facilities. So it, as we move money out of the vehicle replacement fund, I will be recommending that we start incrementally increasing more, because that's one part in our current reserve. We should have been putting $10,000 a year in, and we haven't been. So okay, that's another catch you. I did. That's another good reason to review them.
Okay.
So right. We'll move over to our other fun one, water.
Fun.
Adjustments to personnel costs. Again, this is a SLOSIA related negotiation where the board approved a 4% COLA this year and 3% next year. So that'll be reflected. Medical insurance, as with admins, and then increases in our retirement contributions and workers' comp almost also went up a fair amount. We also have increases in service and supply. We want to do a water billing software update this next year. Our Koozie program's been good, but it's dated, and so we want to move to the next generation. We also have money built in to update our water master plan, which hasn't really been touched since about 2004 in terms of costs and where we are in that plan. So I think that's going to be money well spent. And then insurance premiums. Oh yeah, I can't forget. This is California zero emissions vehicle requirements. This has been a tricky one for Margaret and myself. The requirements looming because we're a smaller system, 10 vehicles or less. We have time, but we thought we would put money into this fiscal year's budget because there is incentive money available now and there's speculation on how much money will be available in the future. So we may or may not pull the trigger, but we wanted to have money in the budget. And this would be something I would bring back to the board for a decision on. Once if we're seeing, yeah, we need to do something, it would definitely be a board decision. And then, of course, we continue our implementation of the capital project plan. So impacts to the budget personnel, about almost $59,000. That's a 4% wage increase. Service and supplies, about $99,000. And capital outlay budget actually goes down, even though it's an aggressive one. Some of the big ticket, it's not as many big ticket items as we've had in the past. Revenue projections. So we're going to go into our last approved rate increase July 1st. It's just under 3% if you look at percentages. We anticipate, you know, about $72,000 over this fiscal year. It's been difficult because water use is still down from what we had projected in the rate study. But other things are up, like our commercial revenues. And that's basically because the middle school's been watering a lot and we put a new meter in. It also includes $50,000 of Zone A dollars. And I just wanted to point out the middle school is scheduled to be hooked up to the recycled water system this summer sometime. When it shifts over, it will receive a 10% discount from the potable rate. And so things will change. That is when we don't really have a handle on projecting. So if it does, let's say, change over in July or August, we want to get a few billing cycles under our belt, and we'd be back to it mid-year to really kind of relook at the revenue picture, because we just don't have a good feel of what that might look like. Did pull out some of the larger GL, general ledger items, as you can see in payroll and benefits, some of the bigger ticket items there. Like workers' comp and our legacy or retirement rent for regular employees, our insurance and licenses, their computer licenses there, that 31,000, almost 32 is for the water billing software upgrade, and then projected increases that we've indication we received from our insurance company. The professional and consulting or legal and professional is the water master plan upgrade. Includes $39,000 for that upgrade or update. And then we're putting in $111,000 for the EV fleet maintenance. And this is for one vehicle and three chargers, because eventually we'll have to have three electric trucks. So I did want to go, the capital plan. Can't forget that. Here's the list. Things that were going to be 2 years that we've made into 1 year are the valve replacement program. Our staff can replace some of those valves themselves, so those decreased across the cost slightly. UAC thought it was prudent just to go ahead and do all of them, which is always good to do. The valves are very important in our system. The other big one was the SCADA project. We were going to break into a two-year project, but we're running into issues with AT&T and our archaic phone line system telemetry that they are going to not support in the near future. So we're going to try to move that up. And of course, we have our, in the water yard office, I wanted to talk to, it's in dire need of something. We don't know what that is. So the $50,000 is to do something similar to what we did up at the fire station, an assessment and then a recommendation. Remodel, tear down, move it, I don't know what. So this is really money to just kind of get us on a path to do something with that building. To spend more money later.
I have a feeling it's going to come up. We have a fire department exercise on the building.
And I hope it's a planned. So with that, here's the summary table. I do have a bit more I wanted to share with you, but here's the summary table of all the numbers we've been looking at and talking about. And then down at the bottom there, you can see the net revenue expenses, that almost $2 million, which I can put into the report that we will cover through a variety of measures, incoming revenue and reserves to support, which would then indicate we are capable of balancing that budget with those monies.
Yeah, grants aren't ever reflected here.
Right.
And we have been pretty successful.
Right. And we still have grant money coming in. We're almost through it, but we're getting close. But we still have a few $100,000 that we're for the program Seawell to help offset that 970 that you're seeing. So this is something I haven't done before, and it was suggested by Utility Advisory Committee, is that we kind of look back a few years, 3 years was the request, on how are we doing in our trends in our operational. This excludes CIP. So I went back to 21-22 and then included the proposed budget for this year to show where we have been going with personnel, service supply, debt service reserves, and transfers. And personnel definitely has gone up about 32%. 17% of that is actual wage increase, which is pretty consistent, or is consistent, to the COLAs we've been giving our employees. So really no surprise there. But then the other 15% are the costs that come with those COLAs, you know, the increase in contributions, cafeteria, and some other things. Service and supplies, which is the other big number up there, is definitely the last few years inflation driven. And so that's because back in 21-22, inflation was still very, very low. It was like around 2% or maybe even a little less. So as you can see, if you look at transfers, it's kind of bounced around, but over that period of time, just a 2% increase. Laura and I tried very, very hard to keep that budget down because we know the impacts to the cost allocation. So about 17% increase over the four-year time period. Here's our reserves, still very healthy. And when we look at reserve policies, I'm definitely going to want to look at the Water Quality Trust Reserve, Basin Management Reserve, and the Water Conservation Reserve. I don't believe those are really no longer needed, and that we could reallocate those dollars however the board sees fit. Basin management and water conservation have just been built into our line item budgets. We just budget for them, so they don't need a reserve amount. And the Water Quality Trust Reserve has been around a long, long, long time, associated with that MTBE settlement. quite a few years back. So any questions on water?
Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment on Fund 500, water. Seeing none in the room.
If you're online, please raise your hand. No public comment online.
Okay, Ron, we'll move on to Fund 600, wastewater.
600 is pretty much flat as well. MBS, who manages our how we collect the monies for the wastewater bond, their fees going up about $660. Our cost allocation and also our U.S. bank fees remain flat, but our cost allocation increased slightly because of how we allocate in the cost allocation. So there's a slight increase there. Again, nothing too exciting. Any questions on wastewater? Okay.
No, anybody in the room want to?
And if you're online, raise your hand.
Okay, you want to go to Fund 650, solid waste?
Solid waste. A little bit of things I'm recommending, and again, this is my research into our reserve policies. We still have a 650 reserve policy on the books. So I would like, and the rationale behind it was to be able to put, I think the goal was $300,000, which at the point of time was enough to operate the wastewater system for, I think it was 6 month period, in case something happened to our hauler. I think it's a very good planning and prudent, but that number's definitely higher than $300,000 now. But with that said, I will be recommending contribution towards the reserve to get that started. And also we have a base year application coming in. I'm not sure when. Waste Connections indicated into March, then it was beginning of April, and now we're at the beginning of May. Haven't seen anything yet, but we will need consultant services to help analyze the application for make sure it's done right. So that's an estimation of between $20,000 to $30,000. I'm hoping it's less, but that's what I hear the going rate is now. So with that, I mentioned the reestablishment and the amount would be consistent with be $50,000 a year according to the 2012 district reserve policy for 650. The recommendation for this year would be add $100,000. And then, like I've said, I'm going to want to bring a reserve policy update both to the FAC and board future meetings. So again, impacts to the budget. For consultant services, about with legal and professional, it's about $35,000, and the 100% or $100,000 to reserve for our reserve. And then the summary would look something like this. As you can see, we still have a net income that's still fairly substantial. Any questions?
Any questions? Anybody in the room like to make a comment? Oh, boy, we do have someone.
And if you're online, raise your hand.
So the...
Richard, could you please state your name for the record, please?
Richard Margetson. So the 36,000... if that's what we end up having at the end of the year, we'll go, I think this is part of the reserve discussion, we'll go into the general contingency reserve or one of the reserves for solid waste?
Well, we'll have to take a look at that because there's really, at this point, the reserve policy is so out of date, we'll have to get guidance on that. Because I think when we get into the reserves, a lot of things through different funds will change.
Okay.
Because we need operational cash too, so for anything that comes up. So whether it goes into a reserve or not.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Nobody else is in the room? Not online. Okay. We'll close public comment, bring it back. Fund 800, drainage.
Drainage, from the higher level look, I
I kind of left it like we're almost business as usual, though I've stated we're still in this kind of, you know, precarious position on what's going to happen in the future here, and especially with FEMA funding being, who knows when that might, if it arrives, when it might arrive. So anyway, we have minor increases in insurance, licenses and regular fees and legal and professional. Basically, they're not huge. Insurance, $150, legal and professional, $2,000, because I think we will need some help here coming up as we pursue different options in our drainage responsibilities. As I said, the other factors are the ongoing planning for the permanent repairs and how much we get from FEMA in reimbursement. And then also revenue, whatever the Zone A fundings that we decide on will be worked into the budget. So basically, just with the minor changes that we're going to make, this is what we are looking at. I think we're still hitting what we anticipated when we did the loan. We didn't want drainage to go broke, that we needed operating capital and be able to have some in reserves. Which is here about the amount we had agreed upon last year to keep in reserve in case we needed it for some other type of drainage issue other than Cabrillo. So with that, you know, I've already explained some of the other circumstances that we're working through. Right. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Anybody in the room would like to 800?
And if you're online, raise your hand.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to the last fund, 900, Parks and Rec.
And here we have no requests, and the only increase is the increase from the cost allocation.
Any questions? Anybody in the audience like to comment?
And if you're online, raise your hand.
Okay, we'll close it. All right, we're done with going through the reports by funds. Would you like to say anything before we
just that we've completed recommendation one. I thought last year we had talked about Zone A and had it completed by now, so I jumped the gun there. That's our first decision is Zone A allocation, and then of course once all that, any other direction you want to provide, we would like to have the board set the public hearing for adoption on June 6th.
All right. So we will, but not one more. Yeah. So does anybody want to just, I know, Chuck, you wanted to talk about Zone A. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I pretty much made my feelings known. I want to wean water off of it when we get a chance, but we've already baked 50,000 into the rate study. So that stays. And I think we can soften up on Parks and Rec right now, and maybe try and keep drainage whole. Fire's got some serious issues coming up, and we'll be making decisions there. But I still like option two.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any other comments before we go to public?
I agree with option two. It makes the sense. I wish we could put more towards fire just because there's a lot of stuff that we need to do from a community perspective, but it makes sense where drainage is to split that money from Parks and Rec to those two funds.
Okay. Public comment then?
And if you're online, raise your hand.
This is it.
No, I get that this is it, but I have a couple general comments too. Fire, there's a couple major things that are coming up. So that, absolutely. Drainage, getting what they're getting. And by looking at the budget for drainage, there could possibly be another 53 this year surplus from drainage. I just want to make sure that, you know, and I'm probably, everybody knows I'm probably biased towards fire, but the issues coming up in fire or we're not talking $10,000 items. We're talking $100,000. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollar items. So keep that in mind. The other thing, just a general comment. It's going to be very interesting when we get into the reserve discussion and what happens with surpluses at the end of a fiscal year, and some terminology discussions. So it's kind of universal. And I know Ron wants to make that clear too, but I think that's a discussion that the boards really and the committees are really going to have to weigh in on, because what we're calling certain things, I don't believe is in theory what some of them actually are. Just keep that in mind as we go forward. And it's great that the district's in the position it is now, but let's make sure that continues.
That's Thank it. You. No public comment online. Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. I'm fine with either option one or two. I mean, whether we put that 5% into Parks and Rec or not, I mean, it seems that it's timely that something's going to happen. So I could, the majority of you all want to go with two, I'm fine with that. But so one or two are fine with me. Okay, somebody want to?
Why don't we do a separate motion for that? That'd be.
I'll make a motion that we go with option two for our Zone A property tax money.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. We're providing direction to staff.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't need a roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so that's the recommendation unanimously. Okay. You got the direction already on allocation of A. So the last thing would be to set the date for the public hearing for adoption of the fiscal year 2024-2025 budget, which would be June 6, 2024. Does anybody have any issues with that? Okay, seeing none, we'll set that. I don't need a motion for that. We'll set the date then for the public hearing for adoption of the fiscal year 2024-2025 budget for our next meeting, which will be held on June 6th, 2024. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Then we'll get back into our agenda here. So we're on item number 7 now. Pardon me, 6B. I forgot about that.
It's a B.
It's pretty quick, I would hope. Item 6B, proposed amendments to the County of San Luis Obispo's growth management ordinance for Los Osos. The recommendation was to provide conceptual support to the proposed amendment. So, Ron, I apologize for stepping on your toes, but take it away.
Thank you. No worries. Just going back a little bit, and everyone I'm sure is aware that, we've been struggling to get the Los Osos Community Plan update as approved by the Board of Supervisors through Coastal Commission for various reasons, but the main one being water related. So it's been under review by Coastal since December 2020. That's when the Board of Supervisors adopted the current plan. The commission staff just recently indicated, and this I suppose was after many discussions with the county, and it was actually their hydrologist, the Coastal Commission hydrologist, made the recommendation that, indicated that the analysis of the data that they've received relating to the groundwater basins is sustainability provides sufficient confidence that a maximum 1% growth rate may be established. So with that, it looks like the Coastal Commission is going to take action at their June meeting. It's June 12th, 13th, and 14th, and I think it's going to be in Morro Bay.
It's one of those 3 days.
It's one of those three days.
To be determined, and I don't know if it's determined. Yes, it was supposed to be Morro Bay.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be in Morro Bay. So there is opportunity to go to this meeting. So with that pending action, the county staff reached out to the three water purveyors, Gold State, S&T Mutual, and us, to work on an implementation strategy. And ironically, during 2023, we had monthly meetings with county staff. We mostly talked about Title 19 and the offset program, which, you know, we all know was approved back in March of this year. But we did, towards the end of those conversations, look at a way to implement or change, amend the growth management ordinance to incorporate a better Title 19 program. And some of the concepts that came out of the discussions with the county and the purveyors did end up as part of their recommendation. So the key points that the county has agreed to is to continue Title 19 retrofit program. That's the 2-to-1 offset, so essentially water neutral for new development, to remain codified and enforced for the foreseeable future. And so when that would end, we're not sure. There's really no definite guidance on when that would end. Annually, the BMC will provide input on the health and sustainability of the groundwater basin to the groundwater sustainability director at the county. Currently, that is Blaine Reilly. And so the BMC, probably around this time when the annual report's out, will formulate a recommendation to Blaine or whoever's in that position on any changes that might be recommended by the BMC for the change in the growth management ordinance. And then the key was this metrics where we would have a sliding scale of growth. If the basin yield metric was at 80% or lower, that means it's moving more into sustainable sustainability. The 1% growth rate could continue. But if that backslides at all anywhere between 80 and 85%, it decreases to a point at 85%, 0% growth rate would go into effect. All the purveyors, and including myself, we felt this was a fair way to approach. It had some safeguards built in, feedback on an annual basis, and continued the offset program, which in theory, which I think can be achieved as well, water neutral development. And this would open up prohibition zone, which means condition 6 would be lifted, which is the new hookups to the sewer. And we could see small amounts of growth proceed in the near future. So next steps.
Did we figure out if that 1% was like?
No, and I asked the county and they hadn't gotten back to me. As soon as I get a better feeling, because Marshall had some questions too about transitioning to that. When I mentioned it to the county at our Friday meeting, they said, we'll put it in writing and we'll send you what you need. And they just haven't gotten back to me.
Okay.
But I will get that. So next steps, if it's approved tonight, we will provide a letter of support to the county. And Golden State and S&T want to do a joint letter. So I worked on a joint letter today that I'm circulating. Again, the Coastal Commission meeting is either on the 12th, 13th, or the 14th, and the action should move forward. September, the county would take to their board, the Board of Supervisors, an action to act on the suggested modifications from the Coastal Commission. So that would essentially be updating the community plan. Sorry, go ahead. And then also on the growth management approach. And then October, November, Coastal would certify the amendments and the joint management approach, and that would go into effect by the end of this year. So next steps also is in June, I want to bring to you a water report, basically how we looked from this year rainfall back, kind of just an update on production, water use totals, you know, production versus consumption. And with our changes to our water shortage contingency plan a few months back, our new recommendation for what stage we should be in terms of that. So that's what I want to do at our board level here, is really kind of, as we move into this new future, have a better understanding of what our conditions are. And I'll have firm numbers from the monitoring board on basin yield metric, chloride metrics, and all those. So with that, I'm asking for the board to conceptually support the proposed changes, and if supported, authorize the board president to sign the letter I mentioned previously.
And this has to be done. I know the county wants it this month.
Yeah, they want it in front of
the Coastal
Commission. Right,
mid-June.
Yeah.
We have another meeting before that.
But they are packaging everything up.
Right. I understand that.
Doesn't happen on the fly like we do.
No, here. I understand that. But letters can be submitted at the last minute.
Coastal Commission, it's like a month ahead of time when they package their stuff up.
Given the fact that the spring monitoring results haven't even been presented to the BMC yet, it just seems like the timing is always. The county puts things out without due consideration, without time for consideration.
But if you're curious about the monitoring report, and I think I've mentioned this to a couple of directors, basin yield metrics down to 69.
Yes. Chloride? I mean, we just haven't reviewed this yet. And when the Basin Management Committee meeting this last month would have been maybe, I think the monitoring report was out, wasn't out.
No, it just came out.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this is, it just seems like a big deal that the county is asking. When just a couple more weeks and I'd be more comfortable with having evaluated the current conditions.
You know, Chuck, I don't disagree with you, but one of the things that the county's taking into effect is that the commission is meeting here, and that's a lot different than meeting in Newport Beach. And
I appreciate that when I heard that it was going to be in Morro Bay, because I was one of the people who loaded up on a bus and went down to Santa Barbara for a hearing one time.
Well, and if I can emphasize, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. Title 19 is what was insisted on. Now, if you believe Title 19 isn't going to work, I can appreciate your position. But if you think that Title 19 can work as amended, you're talking water neutral development.
Yes, that's the key point. I guess maybe my hesitation comes with a letter of support. I'd like to see it couched in terms of, if the Coastal Commission does decide to approve the community plan in June, it is imperative that the verification steps built into Title 19 are adhered to. And it's fundamental. And that's the only way that we can continue to support the growth management ordinance, something to that effect. You know, a letter of support just makes me nervous.
The Coastal Commission is going to be the most conservative body out there. So, I mean, I'm not really concerned about that. I mean, what we're talking about, from my opinion, is, you know, just authorizing Ron to work on a joint agency letter of support for, you know, this, but we're not saying there's going to be development. We're just saying this.
Well, yes, we are.
No, we're not. You still have to meet all the criteria.
Well, okay, that's I guess that's part of the discussion. I kind of wanted to fold back through my own mind. I can't remember from the Medeas report what the potential for retrofits were. How likely are we to hit 1% in any given year?
Well, we wouldn't start off at 1% just based on where we're at. You know, like, for instance, this year, the basin yield metric was 84. We're not going to be able to go back 5 years immediately because we changed the sustainable yield number.
Right.
So it's going to be somewhere below, you know, towards between 80 and 85. So you're maybe talking 0.2% or one of those, you know, 0.4 or somewhere in there. But then people have to go out. Property owners have to go out and find the retrofits.
Oh, yes, right.
And the other limiting factor, according to Corey Hahn, the long-range division manager, there's not going to be enough HCP credits available.
Right.
So there's going to be other limiting factors on growth. It's not just what we're talking about. Because you know, basically, the Coastal Commission was ready to go 1%, doesn't matter, no offset program, no Title 19. That's what their recommendation is.
You're kidding. Before we met basin plan criteria?
Yeah. So
they're the most, they're going to protect us? Mm-hmm.
But their hydrologist has determined, based on the data, that we're trending the right way.
I am very happy that they have their own independent review of this. I mean, that makes me very happy. And all these things are just part of the discussion I needed to have to get halfway comfortable with support. I want vacant property owners to be able to develop, but we got to do it in a responsible manner. And there's no turning back if we do something wrong.
Well, the turn back is the annual check-in. You know, if we see something in the data, there's a stop. There isn't like we can't stop anything. There is a stop. And it's tough because, you know, we've been pushing hard on using the metrics, but the metrics are hard. They weren't meant to do what they're trying to be now. And so we're trying to put in the best safeguards we can based on the actions that are taking place with or without our support.
And I understand that because the metrics were identified, but we never, in the basin plan, it doesn't really say what that means once
not for new development.
Once they're satisfied. Yeah.
It just means you're either doing better or worse.
Right.
Or,
exactly. Yeah. Right. But what we do with that
right.
was not decided. Okay. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Okay, we'll go to public comment then.
If you're online, raise your hand.
Richard Margetson, Chuck's right, again. Not a lot of time. Utilities Committee hasn't seen this. Basin Management hasn't seen this. Just some of the questions. 1%. Is that 1% of the current population increase? Because at 2.5 per household, you do the calculation, 1.1% would be somewhere around 58 homes a year. Or is it 1% of the vacant lots in Los Osos, which drops that number substantially down? Big difference between dividing 14,500 and dividing, 700, whatever it is, 700 vacant lots. The verification process, I don't want another water boys cropping up, accumulating credits, 805, what was the one that was at the beginning, 805 water credits, anyway, that one. Their hydrologist, I'm going back to a comment that was made earlier, their hydrologist reviewed this. Just a question, how long has their hydrologist been with them? So we're not in a situation like what Ron ran into with FEMA, where the application was with somebody who was, you know, this was her first project. I hope this wasn't this guy's first review of a substantial issue for a community that's had a problem for 30 years. Way too many questions. I don't think, again, the county gave us enough time. As usual, at least they didn't bring this out, you know, right after Thanksgiving, like they do with retrofit updates and other ordinances that they squeeze in during the holidays because they know input will be as little as possible. I think there's too many questions. But for me, the big one is what's the definition of 1% if we're at the 1% at any point down the road? Because there's a big difference between the number of homes that if it's 1% of the population, we could be at build out. And just say we held at 1% and all the metrics showed that we could do 1%. We'd be at build out in about 12 years. If you can collect all the credits, all of that. I also don't believe the Medalis report is accurate in how many credits are still out there and how many people are going to be willing to allow changeouts of 1.28 toilets to lower, to get that little bit of some that intrusion into their home, to get those little bit of extra credits that people are going to need. I think that's going to be a big factor too. So
thank you. Any other comments in the room? Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I just have one, I guess, thoughts or questions around the growth too. Is this just single family homes, or we got some larger lots? Could this introduce multifamily homes and larger implementations or commercial, like lodging and hotels and stuff like that? That could be a whole different ballgame too, and the amount of water usage. So I would have concerns about what this growth, like the Rich said, some of that definitions.
Well, what they've said is it's the wait list, which is mainly residential lots.
Residential.
Now, there is a provision, I believe, that low-income housing, like the Housing Authority, has some lots. I'm not sure if they're included in the 1%. They may be excluded, so there might be some affordable housing built, as you know, that would be outside the growth cap. Now, what is the 1%? My belief it is by vacant lot, not by population, because you have to remember the recommended growth rate in the community plan as adopted was 1.3%, and that was to occur over a 20 to 25 year planning horizon. So it's not like you're going to see a lot of growth. Again, if we're talking that the basin yield metric is somewhere between 80 and 85, it's not going to be 1%. You know, Richard's point about how much potential is out there, that is going to slow growth down more than anything, because it doesn't matter if it's there or not. That's what the ordinance is, growth management ordinance, is going to be through Title 19. So that's going to be a limiting factor. That's more of a plus than a minus, because I think it's going to be hard to get retrofits. So, you know, and as far as the implementation of Title 19 and the verification, that has been a concern of all the purveyors, the CSD in particular, mine in particular. And so that is something that could definitely be added to the letter. It wasn't part of what I drafted today, but could be added. In terms of emphasizing, because I know that's a concern of all the other purveyors as well. And I have to keep going back to the Title 19, you know, the added water use, there shouldn't be any added water use. It should be an external factor. But even in the first year, if we're seeing something that's abnormal, you know, the BMC has the opportunity to weigh in. That 69 that we've seen from last year is because it rained so darn much and production was as low as it's ever been. That's why the 5-year rolling average is there. So 1 year of maybe it's the driest you've ever seen, or 1 year of the wettest, it doesn't throw, you know, it makes the curve more flat, I guess you'd say, where you're not seeing big swings. Because all of a sudden, if, you know, we get 2 years of 69 as the basin management yield, we're at 1%, or maybe where they're going, well, we don't need it in Title 19 anymore. So anyway, that's where the guardrails, safeguards are there. I know this is a big decision, but the decision is going to be made with or without us. So we can either be part of it and offer the solutions, or we can stand by and watch.
Well, and that's what I appreciate about the changes, the language changes that you have been able to accomplish so far. I mean, I think the dialogue with the county staff has been good. I'm a little bit surprised, I guess, that 1% would refer to vacant lots. I mean, I always think about, you talk about growth rates, you're talking population, you know, hard numbers. But if that's what the county is looking at, that would be good.
That was one of my big questions, because Chris brought that up, and that was her question. And so, as soon as I have that, you know, I can You know, call Corey tomorrow and say, hey, I need this number.
Okay. That would go a long ways.
Yeah.
And then when you said the low-income housing wouldn't count, that's against the growth rate, but not against the total population cap in town. I mean, that number, it's just how fast we get to that number,
exactly.
Really. That
there is an estimated population.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. We can't exceed that. Just,
I don't know if you don't. Think it's based on, you know, what I think the number is 18,000.
We're going to be looking at resources awfully hard at that point as we get close to 18,000. Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So what do y'all want to do here? I think what you just said is important. That we don't want to be standing by the side when they adopt this without our ability to have input into it. So.
And what I could suggest is if there's things you want in the letter.
Well, I think the clarification of the 1% is important.
Yes.
Right. Well, that's a clarification, but is there, you know, the Title 19 implementation of the Title 19 program and the verification process, I think can be mentioned in a letter. Mm-hmm. And what I would suggest is, since I'm asking for the board president to sign whatever letter, that we give some leeway to Marshall to make a decision if he's comfortable with that.
I might have to change my opinion. I think that I like the idea of making the changes that we talked about here and getting clarification about the 1%. And then, you know, doing a joint agency letter. And then I think that, you know, I'm fine with that as long as we have that clarification language in there and we're not, you know, pushing this thing forward. I don't want to be left on the side of the road, though, and have the Coastal Commission approve it with, you know, just the input from the county. So.
So S&T is comfortable with this?
Yes.
Okay. I tend to forget there are vacant lots over there too.
Yep. Well, the state,
so. And if you recall, and this was like the last minute change to the Title 19, was that any development that would occur, be proposed in our service area, the retrofits would have to be in our service area.
Right. Correct.
And so we benefit from.
That's a good point.
Whatever water savings.
You know, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, that was the last minute ad that we were fortunate to slip in.
Okay, I'll recommend the board conceptually support the proposed changes to the County of San Luis Obispo's Growth Management Ordinance as it relates to Los Osos, and if supported, authorize the board president to sign either as an individual agency or a joint agency a letter of support to the county.
I'll second that.
With any amendments Chuck would like to make.
I'd like to authorize the vice president.
What?
Okay. I'm going to go back for public comment. Do we have any public comment now that we have a motion?
Clarification that with.
Could you step up to the podium, Richard?
I know this is what's going to happen.
With the understanding that Ron takes into account the comments made by the board and that it's not just what was in the initial staff report.
Okay, thank you. That's correct.
Okay.
Is that correct? The motion maker and the seconder, is that correct?
I didn't second anything.
Oh, pardon. He's a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
That's not touching it.
The comments will be incorporated. Yes, correct. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now we can go to number 7. Number 7, public comment for items not on the agenda.
Chuck, did you make a aye with that?
Yeah.
I was waiting for an extension.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Thank you.
Well, I thought they were all ayes. Okay, number 7, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And I do have one to read at the end.
And if you're in the room, step up to the podium, please.
Okay. I thought maybe I'd missed it because I was late. Just a quick update. The SLO NOR Mobile Medical Clinic was at the parking lot and the community center today. We were they were concerned, we were concerned that it might be a slow rollout because it's just started. This was their first stop in their rotation in the county, and they had a full schedule today, which was, everybody was kind of shocked a little bit, but very, very happy. If that continues and they start filling the schedule early in the month, in the future, they may be out here twice a month. It could be even three times a month. They will. There's some logistic things that had to be worked out for June. So they will not be here in June, but they will be here in July. And then it'll be every month, at least once a month. The vehicle's fabulous. And the community seems to know about it enough to fill the whole schedule today. So anyway, I don't know if anybody got a chance to drive through the parking lot and see it, but
it's a nice paint job on the Rupert Mobile.
Thank you.
I was so excited to sit through a budget presentation. Good evening, I'm Andrea Luker. Tonight I'm speaking on behalf of the React Alliance. We are a nonprofit, 501c3 nonpartisan grassroots organization that's opposed to the proposed offshore wind projects. And we're also working to ensure the general public understands what these projects entail now and into the future. Today, I have a call of action for you and everybody else in Los Osos and San Luis Obispo County, and that is on next Friday, May 10th, the California Coastal Commission, under Agenda Item 7, entitled Energy, Ocean Resources, and Federal Consistency, will be considering a permit for Equinor Wind, also known as Atlas Wind, to conduct extensive site surveys using high decibel sound, up to 217 decibels, as well as taking core samples that will penetrate up to 65 feet into the ocean floor. Equinor and Atlas Wind proposed to conduct geophysical, geotechnical, and benthic habitat sampling surveys off San Luis Obispo County from the coastline to the 3-mile state water boundary from 12 to 24 hours each day, potentially beginning in June. One would think that such an extensive project would trigger a full-fledged coastal development permit hearing at the Coastal Commission, including a CEQA determination. However, the executive director of the Coastal Commission is recommending this coastal develop permit to be a de minimis waiver. This means that the executive director has made a determination that the aforementioned described surveys will have no adverse effect on coastal resources. I referenced the Coastal Act section 306-24-7 and quote, a proposed development is de minimis if the executive director determines that it involves no potential for any adverse effect either individually or cumulatively on coastal resources, end quote. I encourage you to review the report. It's on the Coastal Commission website under item 7 on May 10th. And also know that over 470 whales have died since the onset of East Coast site surveys beginning in 2016 from Maine to North Carolina, and in fact, 21 this year on the East Coast, big whales. It doesn't include other cetaceans. During this time period on the East Coast, the mortality has increased between 48 and 65%. And when you think about that, try to come to the conclusion that the site surveys will have no adverse effect on coastal resources. In closing, please consider participating in the Coastal Commission hearing on May 10th. Instructions for public comment can be found at their website, coastal.ca.gov. And you can also go to the reactalliance.org website for more information. We are recommending the commissioners deny the de minimis permit request and require this coastal development permit for Equinor Atlas Wind to go through the normal process rather than short hopped with a de minimis waiver. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody online?
No public comment online, but I have one to read.
Oh, you have one to read?
Yes. Okay. My name is Andrea Peck. I live at 1435 10th Street in Los Osos. I'm representing myself and my neighbors who have severe and chronic flooding problems that occur every time it rains. We are asking the LOCSD to work with Slo County and put storm drains in to take the storm water off of our properties. Storm water travels in the backyards of the homes between 11th and 9th Street instead of being directed properly into the street drainage. 3 6-inch pipes release a surge of storm water directly into the path of my home. Additionally, storm water from the 1500 and 1400 block of 10th Street flows directly to the same spot. An average estimate for these 3 6-inch pipes is 300 or 3,000 gallons per minute. A peak flow would be around 5,000 gallons per minute. For perspective, that's 64 bathtubs full of water per minute. This doesn't include the additional flow that comes from a block away. This amount of flood water is a disaster waiting to happen. I continually hear that there is no funding available. I am very sorry that funding seems out of reach. However, a hazardous situation cannot be ignored. I would be remiss as a responsible citizen to not alert you of this dangerous flow of water between our properties. Stormwater that comes from public roads, stormwater that is not our responsibility. Additionally, it sounds like the amount of funding I've heard suggested would completely remodel the entire El Morro Basin. Our problem simply occurs between 11th and 9th, a very small portion of Los Osos and well within the bounds of LOCSD and county to find the meager funds that could address this before next winter. My idea is to put a storm drain and recapture the water and direct it to Baywood Elementary Basin is one such idea that is reasonable in cost and beneficial to us, the community, and those on 8th Street who will be burdened with less runoff as well. An efficient plan must be created and funding sought out. Sincerely, Andrea, Marilyn, Emily, Evan, Mary Jo, Malati, and Nathan.
Thank you. I think maybe that's something we might want to have Utility Advisory Committee look at.
And no doubt about it. And LOCAC, too, has been all over this when, I think it was last month, the county came out. They heard clearly that roads and drainage are tied together and that just because the county doesn't have any planned projects doesn't mean there aren't needed projects. Right. So they're getting it from LOCAC as well.
Okay.
We're in a dispute. They are under the current leadership. They're saying CSD is responsible for all drainage. It's one of my many battles.
That has not been the case.
We know that. All right. Well, let's get back to our staff after you have some updates on that, please. Okay, so we'll move to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any item they want to pull? Okay, so seeing none, then we'll take public.
Do we want to pull G and kind of acknowledge those people?
We can do that without pulling them, right?
Okay,
go ahead.
Let's acknowledge them. Or
does you'd like, Marshall, it's in this report who we are awarding to this year for the let's see.
So for the first year ever, when you go to a lot of these award dinners and stuff, you know, the Board of Supervisors giving out certificates and Don Evan or Adidas, I mean everybody gives it out, but the CSD never gave them out. So this year, I talked to Ron, and we're giving out certificates starting now. So these will be given out at the awards dinner a week from on May 11th. You want to just read the name?
Yes, I will. We have Annette Shealy, Citizen of the Year, well-deserved. Annie Waller, Volunteer of the Year. Brightside Pizza, New Business of the Year. And EnergyWise Realty Business of the Year.
Wonderful. Good to celebrate our Los Osos citizens. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I think having our own certificates is really great.
That's good too.
Yeah.
All right. So then we'll take public comment for items on the consent agenda since we already did the administrative and committee reports.
If you're online, please raise your hand.
Nobody's in the room. Okay. So can I get a motion to...
I move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we need to?
No. Don't think so.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, it passes unanimously. Let the record show. 11, discussion of pulled items or pulled consent items. There was none. Future agenda items, does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this?
I think Ron does a good job of bringing things forward that we've discussed and feel need to.
Yeah, like I said, the main one will be water report and then reserves at some point. That might be July.
Okay, we'll go to closing board comments.
Thank you, Mr. Munns, for all the work you do. I appreciate it. The coordination with county staff is good.
Hard to do. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank Laura for her presence here in person. And all the work that she does. I don't think that she gets recognition Absolutely. That she should have.
And I should have acknowledged, and I apologize, for the budget, Margaret and Laura and the rest of the staff do an amazing job in helping put all those numbers together.
Yeah. No, I noticed when we were at FAC that she was filling in a lot of the gaps in there. So I thought that was excellent. So the other thing I'd like to say is, again, the Chamber Awards Dinner, the 11th. If you're interested, go to Los Osos Baywood Park CC website and you can come. Anybody else have any other closing comments? That's it. All right. Seeing none, we'll adjourn.